Thanks for downloading this episode of the John Curley and Sherry Elicker Show. Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest. The best place to watch all your favorite sports. Featuring wall-to-wall viewing screens, six windows, and 30 kiosks. Be there at emeraldqueen.com.
Here we go. It's the John Curley, Sherry Elicker Show. What do you know? You tuned in for a combination news, entertainment, which we call Newstainment. You can follow us at Instagram. That's the John and Sherry Show, S-H-A-R-I. Joe, for some reason, put up a picture of me dancing to Oklahoma. Yes, that's right, Craig. I was in Oklahoma in high school, and got a chance. As soon as I heard the music, I was immediately just catapulted back into the way in the back of the chorus with some of my great moves. That's up there.
How's that? Oh, what a beautiful morning.
Morning, diving into the new. Oh, my gosh. The weirdos, sad, mentally ill individual, you know, they have proven from a study in Australia. He said, hey, you know, we notice a lot of people are killing themselves. This is in the 1990s, might be 1980s. They said, listen, let's stop talking about suicide, and let's see if we don't put it on television, we don't report it, let's see if we can stop it, because it does have a contagious effect. You see other people commit suicide, so then maybe you do as well. So media across the world decided we're not going to do it. In fact, Cairo has a plan, we have a rule as well, we don't report on those things. And actually it was proven to be true that if you don't talk about it and people don't see it and you don't report it, then it tends to bring the numbers down. So we had seen the story about the guy that was in the Air Force that went in front of the embassy and immolated himself. And while he's on fire, he's yelling, free Palestine, free Palestine. I don't know if that was the trigger for this guy who was in front of the trial down there, lower Manhattan, the Donald Trump trial that's happening. So he decided he would set himself on fire. And there was a CNN reporter not far away from where he was and reported the whole thing while it was actually happening in real time. It could be hard for people to listen to. Just a warning, this was on CNN, it went live.
Would you recommend this to be a sequestered jury? We don't know right now whether these 18 are going to be able to go home each and every night, whether they'll have to actually stay or be distant from their families with the thought of potentially having these issues at all. What do you say? We also are seeing an active shooter is in the park outside the court. We have a man who has set fire to himself. A man has emblazoned himself outside of the courthouse just now. Our cameras are turning right now. A man has now lit himself on fire outside of the courthouse in Manhattan, where we are waiting for history to be made. A full jury panel is gone. We are watching a man who is fully emblazoned in the front of the courthouse today. We are watching multiple fires breaking out around his body.
Okay, so you get the general idea. They have found the guy's manifesto, if you call it that, and it's chock full of a whole bunch of conspiracy theories. He's blaming everything from The Simpsons to... who else does he include in there?
Bitcoin, Peter Thiel.
Bitcoin.
Yeah. Everybody,
Ben
basically.
Shapiro might be mentioned in there.
He mentioned The Simpsons so many times, though. It was so weird.
But the story here isn't that a man apparently has a few screws loose and goes to this extreme act. I think you're right to touch on media coverage of this stuff. I mean, just listen to the clip you played, how riveting and captivating and how much of a spectacle it sounds like. And it garners eyeballs and sure enough, maybe even ratings. If the camera might even catch a glimpse of this man on fire. Historically speaking, do you remember that Buddhist monk that set himself aflame in South Vietnam? It was in Saigon in 1963. Yes. The world was captivated by that image. It's seared on many of our minds some 60 years later. The guy who took the photo, Malcolm Brown, won the World Press Photo of the Year. Okay, so what does that do to a picture like that? Well, it immortalizes it. In some ways, to some people, it might even romanticize that activity. And there's absolutely a contagion effect for a deed as horrific and tragic and awful as this. And just to continue on that theme, I will always remember Barack Obama speaking in 2012. The memory is a funny thing. Some things go in your mind and immediately out. For some reason, this quote from Barack Obama stuck with me. He was speaking at the UN in New York. Quote, It has been less than 2 years since a vendor in Tunisia set himself on fire to protest the oppressive corruption in his country and sparked what became known as the Arab Spring. And since then, the world has been captivated by the transformation that's taken place, and the U.S. has supported the forces of change. We were inspired by the Tunisian protests that toppled the dictator because we recognized our own beliefs and the aspiration of men and women who took to the streets. Now, for most of us, we see a person light themselves on fire and we still think, I don't care what the cause is. That's nuts. That's kooky. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. And it's terrible.
Right.
But if someone is listening to the president of the United States there at the UN, I mean, this is an international venue. There's no condemnation. There's no, hey, I just want to qualify. We're not advising anybody do this. This grotesque act. In fact, right. You walk away thinking the guy who set himself on fire in Tunisia was an inspiration to the world.
Right. The idea of martyrdom, right? To give up your own life for some cause. And even the guy that was the Air Force guy, he was heralded by Cornel West and a lot on the left as showing this is how serious it is of the U.S. involvement into Israel and Gaza and the fact that Israel is the oppressor. When you read what the guy I listened to, and he videotaped the whole thing from the time he starts to walk over towards the embassy to the time he lights himself. He videotaped the whole thing, and he's explaining U.S. as oppressor and Israel genocide. So it's all the nonsense that had been drilled into this guy's head, and then he decides he's going to take his life. Listen, given the choice between having to push button one or button two, if you are so mentally ill that you're going to take your life, take your life. I'm not advocating for that, but I'd rather have you do that than decide that you're going to go into a school and shoot a bunch of people, right? Or go into a supermarket and shoot a bunch of people because you're so angry about something. It's always the idea of like, well, then the gunman at that point turned the gun on himself. Why didn't you turn the gun on yourself in the very beginning of this sort of stuff? So if you decide that this, whatever the reason, and we all assume that you're nuts, whether it's the guy, the Air Force guy, which he should not be heralded as a hero, or the person that you spoke of, that Barack Obama spoke of at the UN, taking your life for a cause does not make the cause any better. It doesn't mean that somehow equating your life being lost adds, you know, gravitas to whatever this international conflict that's happening. No one's going to be inspired. And to act as if people are inspired by it, you're right. It sends a completely sort of demented view of the value of your life. And whatever you have in your head, that thinking you're ending it in front of everybody is somehow going to change everybody's mind.
Yeah,
one's mind is ever changed by that stuff. The Vietnam War didn't end. You know, 150 women have killed themselves from 2005 to 2006, setting themselves on fire in Afghanistan.
Ugh.
And they were doing it as a way of sort of protesting, you know, what happens to women in Afghanistan. So things don't happen. Things don't change because you did that. And things don't change because you take a gun and shoot a whole bunch of other people. It never stops any of it.
Right? Well, it's
even taking Abraham Lincoln's life,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
To take Abraham Lincoln's life, to think somehow, that will stop the North and the idea of the Union. And if we kill Lincoln, somehow we'll be able to affect the change so that the South can be free.
Well, let's make an important distinction here. And what we're talking about here is a perversion of some biblical wisdom, even in fact. There's a quote, greater love is no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. It doesn't say to take your own life for your friends. So, I mean, there are plenty of instances and precedent throughout human history where someone goes in harm's way to sacrifice themselves for the preservation of another person's life. But there's not a rich tradition of someone laying their own body on their own sword, so to speak.
Okay, then let's bring religion into it. You'll be good with this.
Okay.
So Christ, the Son of God,
here we go,
allows himself to be crucified in the forgiveness of sins, to pay the debt, and he has his life taken.
We're going deep here.
But it's also part of the idea that he's going to rise from the dead, that he can defeat death, but he gives up his life for a greater cause, which is the idea of understanding the love that God wants man to have between each other, right? Redefining sin, understanding sin, and then teaching us a different type of love for mankind. So in that regard, did Jesus not give up his life like somebody setting themselves on fire for some greater cause?
Oh, my gosh. I'm not sure I would put it in those exact terms, so to speak.
All right.
You're preaching to the converted in some ways. Okay.
Well, he was on, like, death row, essentially.
Well, so he's unjustly accused.
Right.
And rather yes. than, you know, going out of the way to use his heavenly power to get out of it, he lays down his life for his friends in a spiritual sense. I don't know if I would make the comparison to self-immolation in that regard, but perhaps there's some nuance to be had there.
Well, as they said to him, so you say you're the king of the Jews, take yourself down from this cross and save yourself, right? That's paraphrasing what they were saying. It was they're taunting him, right?
Right, right. Get but down, save yourself.
So he suffered. He suffered for all of us.
But he didn't do
gives
it.
Up his.
He let others do it.
He
too,
let other people do
and
it.
Didn't
right.
fight back.
Right,
right.
Yes, exactly. Because
he was going to save
right.
humanity, John. He didn't go. I'm going to go.
Talk about
okay, so then you have Judas, right? He's one of the 12 disciples. He's the bad example. He's the one who goes out and takes his own life afterwards. And that's
yes,
not exactly set up as a shining example to emulate.
He was so guilty. He felt so horrible that he had done this.
You and I should teach Sunday school.
We should. Donald Trump in a cold courtroom.
Days now, from morning till night, in that freezing room. Freezing. Everybody was freezing in there. And all for this. And this is your result. Look at that. Each one of them a story. And it's very unfair. Very bad thing. Very bad thing. The whole world is watching this hoax. You got a DA that's out of control. You have a judge that's highly conflicted. The whole thing is a mess. And you have the leading candidate and leading crooked Joe Biden by a lot. He's the one that should be in trial. He's a crook. You got a crooked president.
So
they're
Trump-
doing so much. They're doing so much for Trump. This is exactly if I were Donald Trump's people, because he knows. People that are reading, people that know, this thing is just a crock, right? 34 charges on him. You know, they wouldn't even bring federal charges against him. They're gonna slap this thing together because he write the check. When did he write the check? Was it for? You know, was he doing it to try to stop her to help with his election, or was he paying her off to save his marriage? You know, is his wife gonna have to take the stand? They're tying him up. They don't want him out on the campaign trail, and they're making him sit there, right?
In that cold room, John.
He well, was, I, you know, whatever look, for that. But, like, it's keeping him awake or it's putting him to sleep, one or the other. And the jury? You think you're going to find a jury that's going to actually let him off? Come on.
Trump,
it's a complete sham.
He was put in a frigid room for our transgressions and he was cooled for our iniquities. Look, John. Okay,
there you go.
This is by far the weakest case against Trump, which is the Stormy Daniels things. Clearly politically motivated. I think there's some legs to what's going on in Georgia or even January 6th or the classified documents case. But the fact
maybe,
that this
yes.
this oh. fraud trial is leading the way is having an adverse effect on the Democratic Party, in fact, because it is so weak. And,
right.
You know, I think Trump actually has a point on this one. I'm not a Trump sycophant or leg humper. But at this point, I just feel like, my goodness, let's get to the election and let the American people decide. I could be swayed either way. I don't think any person is above the law. And I think Trump has spent most of his life skirting laws. And finally, time has caught up to him. But this Stormy Daniels one, do better. Do better.
Weak.
Very
so weak.
Weak. Yeah.
Very weak, right? Because I think when they looked at it for federal election violations, they didn't bring any federal charges against him. So Alan Bragg looks in there. Alan Bragg looks and goes, well, you know, with 34 different things, it's a bookkeeping charge, basically. You had the check, you wrote it over here to your lawyer, then your lawyer took the money and then paid her off to be quiet. So what Trump's defense will be, that wasn't about elections. I gave that money to my lawyer, Cohen, so she wouldn't come forward. By the way, no extortion charges against Stormy Daniels. So gives her the money to be quiet because I didn't want to embarrass my wife, right? Had nothing to do, that could be one of them. And then also just the statute of limitations had run out on the thing, but the judge was like, yeah, you know what? Because of COVID, we'll add an extra year. So the statute of limitations didn't run out. I mean, it's like, listen, if you were like cold or lukewarm on Trump, like I don't like him, I don't like Biden, But then if you want to sort of raise the middle finger to this system that's in place to stop him at any way possible, you might do what they did in Washington, D.C. when Marion Barry ran a second time after he got out of prison. He wins again because the people are like, you know what? Screw you, what you did to Marion Barry. We'll put him back in there just to show you. So you could get a, you know, blank you vote for Trump because you just hate what you see, what they're doing, what the system does, what the government is doing to this guy.
And by the way, if Trump wins, which at this point is a real possibility, I have to say, this is the beginning of a potentially never-ending tit-for-tat
with
politicians
the
and their rivals. Laura Trump was just featured in a speech where she said, if Trump wins, he's going full scorched earth. Okay, that analogy refers to like the Russians in World War II destroying anything and everything in their sight as they were leaving the battlefield. And they're constantly talking about Trump's enemies on the campaign trail and how he's going to go after them. So this is just the beginning. But in many ways, Democrats open Pandora's box. But again, an important debate to be had here, because I do believe that a lot of the acts that Trump committed over the past 4 or 6 years are either criminal or borderline criminal. So what do? Do you just turn, you know, the other cheek and go, well, we don't want to get into this for that thing from now until the end of time, so we'll just look the other way? Or do you go, no, we're a nation of laws? I don't know. It's a tough one.
Well, why don't you apply them equally? So if you knew that Joe Biden also had documents, right? The difference is this. Trump, when they asked him, do you have any more? The obstruction that occurred there in June 2 or 3 years ago, that's what caused the problem. If you turn them all over, nope, don't have any more. Nope. Joe Biden's people turned the stuff over, but he still had the things. And he lied about whether or not his ghostwriter looked at the stuff. Of course he did. And they're just asking for equal application of the law, but they don't. They're so afraid. They just hate him so much. The ends will justify the means because he is so unbelievably dangerous. That's the way they see it. They have to do everything they can to ruin the guy, right? Like the story of NPR. Yes, we knew that once he got elected, we had to do everything we could to destroy him. And the same thing is happening. This happens here. This is what Joe Biden's people are doing. The fact that they wiretapped him and spied on him and made up a whole bunch of crap about Russia, they had to destroy him. You have to agree with that.
Well, what's a depressing thought for me is that rather than simply just turning the page on this chapter in American history, I fear this might be the beginning of a very long chapter.
I agree.
I don't think once we move past Trump and Biden that this ends. I think there's potential for it
petty,
to intensify.
Petty. It's going to be really ugly. Really ugly. I want to find out what you think, what happens the day if he wins. What do you think happens that night across the United States? I'm going to pick your brain on that at some point.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine, these are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and downstairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
The Mariners are all about giving you more baseball for your buck. With Mariners Value Games, you can snag seats for as little as $10 to select games all season long. To get your tickets and check out the complete Mariners Value Game schedule, go to mariners.com/valuegames.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wow, I didn't know where you're going with all that. It was quite the
good things come to those
journey. Apparently so.
Pause for effect.
Woo! Greg in for Sherry. Yeah. Bucky's Auto Service Centers. It's fairly straightforward. Take your car there. They got 16 locations, been around for 54 years. It's Bucky's Auto Service Centers. These guys in Utah, this is ABC4. I can't quite tell, but it seems to me that at this, I think it's an elementary school, kids are wearing furries. Furries is like they've been around for a while. You dress up like an animal and you're able to present personality traits that you wouldn't normally portray in public because you're shy or whatever else. But if you put on, you basically look like giant mascots. You can build them. Then you have a personality around it. They've got conventions. Some of the stuff gets tied to sort of a sexual sort of part of it. But in this case, kids are wearing what looks like mascot costumes to school, and now there's a big protest.
The term furry, it refers to someone interested in animals with human qualities. Now, they dress up like this as a cartoon version of an animal. Now, we've learned there have been reports at Nebo Middle School that students are getting mistreated over this topic.
There was some kids dressed up as animals, and I heard that another kid got bit by one of them.
There's a lot of speculation surrounding the protest that happened at Nebo Middle School Wednesday morning. Nearly 75 students and parents showed up facing the school, saying they're unhappy with how administration is handling reports of harassment.
Okay. You guys cannot record me without my permission!
This is video a Nebo Middle School student took last week. Parents say there's an issue between some students and others who call themselves furries, or people who enjoy dressing up as cartoonish animals.
Back when I went to school, you know, you couldn't dress that way, you couldn't do certain things, and I think it kind of needs to go back a little bit. Like, I know kids need their own personalities, but it's ridiculous when kids are dressing like animals and licking and biting people. I just don't think that's okay.
But the Nebo School District tells us it's not that extreme. Seth Sorensen says no one was scratching or biting anyone, and that there are a lot of untrue rumors going around.
It actually is not something that's been occurring. In fact, a lot of the information that's been put out there is completely incorrect and inaccurate, and so we're still trying to get on top of that.
Here's the question. Are they wearing them in class? Are they wearing them in school? So you're sitting in class and there's a kid sitting next to you with like a giant, you
right.
know, lion head on. Is so that what's happening?
Let's differentiate between levels of being a furry. There are adults who put on the full on mascot like costumes, like the old Bigfoot that used to run around the supersonic games. You know, there are furries that look like that, that take it seriously and live their daily lives however they want to live it. I think what goes on at the schools is less of that and more of kids like wearing the animal ears and maybe a tail and little furry indicators where they show, hey, I like looking like this animal, and some of them take it to the next level. I don't think it's a full on costume. I
get it, but
I suspect
just,
that the school would have put an end to that. But go ahead.
Okay. Are they wearing this stuff in class?
Yes, I believe that is true. Okay. I mean, look, I recently saw a stand-up special by Sebastian Maniscalco in Vegas, and a whole 10 minutes of that special is him talking about his preschooler who's in a class with a kid who identifies as a lion, and the whole class has to address the five-year-old as a lion. So the stuff isn't as rare in this day and age as you might think.
Okay, and so some of the kids will say, I can let my personality out. And I heard the principal saying, you know, it's actually very healthy for them because they you know, they're shy or whatever. Once they assume this character, then it's okay for them. So they want to put the head on so that they can then, you know, be dressed as this animal and communicate differently. No, it's unhealthy. And you don't get to wear a mask, or you don't get to wear ears in class. And if you're being made fun of, that's good. Shame should be brought back into society. Ooh. And it has a place, because as a society, no, it's not. As a society, as a tribe, shame is a way of correcting behavior for the survival of the tribe. Pain teaches you something. Well, that's a hot plate. You touch that and you pull your hand back because there's heat. Shame is the same thing. It teaches you that we don't want this particular type of behavior because it's not healthy for us as a tribe, and your own individual rights. You want to be able to express yourself in a particular way. You have to have some sort of standards by which we'll all agree this is behavior that we're okay with and this is not. And this idea of, like, I'm going to wear this because I feel good, because I want to express myself. I understand that, but I think a lot of this is, I'm going to wear this and I'm going to be really odd so that people make fun of me to reinforce that I am a victim.
Okay.
My son's in class at Central Washington, and a kid walks in dressed as the Joker, exactly as the Joker, or capes on and weird things on their head and all sorts of crazy costumes, because they really want people to be able to go, wow, what is that? Oh, really? Oh, okay, I can't be myself. You're wearing something completely bizarre, and you're expecting people not to behave and react to your bizarre behavior. And you're not going to teach these kids anything by, oh, if you put a mask on and walk around as a cat, that's okay, and people should be able to respect you because you're now part human and part cat.
Can we hear Strudel, the furry's take on this whole thing?
Yes, of course.
Okay,
hold on,
Joe.
Thank you.
This is Strudel, a member of the furry fandom. Though they've been a furry for over a decade, they have their own opinions.
It's crazy that it's escalated to this point where these kids are being so distracting to their peers that their peers want to stage a walkout. So to have, you know, the next generation kind of muddy our name and not represent it very well, it is kind of disappointing.
Strudel believes there should be some limits.
Continue doing things you like. Continue dressing up. Continue making art, but maybe let's keep it outside of school hours.
As for the school, Sorensen says they have one main goal.
We want every student to feel safe when they come to school, and we want students to get along. In fact, we want adults to get along.
Okay, so the district says they've worked with some students whose dress and appearance they say might be disruptive to the school environment. They say they do invite parents to talk with administration to learn more about how they're handling the situation. Brian, back to you.
I mean, some of that clip we just heard is very visual, because Strudel is full on dressed in like a dog outfit, and the reporter is talking to this person as if it's a serious discussion. And it's absolutely laughable when you see it for yourself. But John, you're basically making the argument that intense stigmas are the only thing keeping a lot of bizarre behaviors at bay. I don't necessarily disagree. If we had more time, I would get into an exercise with you that my kids do a lot with me, which is, I say, go to bed. They say, why? I say, because it's bedtime. They say, why? And I say, well, because it's 8 o'clock. Why? And then, as obnoxious as that is, when the kid keeps asking why, what I realize is it really nails you down to the fundamental roots of the case you're trying to make to them. And they have a point. And so I would continually ask you, why is it important, even though you did explicate a little bit why this sort of behavior should be shunned? I think the main reason that we need furries out of school is because any institution needs to have the big picture in mind. What is the goal of an institution of education? It is to educate. So any distraction that takes us off track from educating everybody should be shunned. Like a hospital. What's the number one goal of a hospital? Patient care. Anything that gets in the way of patient care should be done away with at the facility. Keep it very simple, straightforward, and that way you're not just pinpointing this and isolating this singular kind of behavior.
Well, I'll check traffic and come back, and then you can put me through the YY test.
Okay,
and,
can't wait.
All right, you can adopt me for 6 minutes.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine, these are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and downstairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Here we go with the John Curley, Sherry Elliker Show. Sherry out today. Craig in. Thank you very much. Don't forget, you want to play the know-it-all quiz, you win a whole box of Bite Me cookies. All you got to do is answer 4 questions. Get 1 or 2 right. I still have to write. How many more do I need, Joe? I got to write.
More.
I'm writing them on the fly during the 2 more. Okay. Get them right. Text Joe one interesting thing about yourself. 1-888-973-5476. Oh, welcome. For the break, Greg was saying that he gets into a battle most nights with his kids about time to go to bed. And then for some reason, as smart as you are, they're able to tangle you up in a weird sort of knot of illogic when you say, go to bed, and they say why, and you say you're going to go to bed, and they say why. They keep asking you why, and how does that stop you? You're a very bright guy.
Well, they try to pin me down on the motivations behind my reasoning for the rule or guideline that I have stipulated for them. I know that's a long way of saying my kids are obnoxious at night when they won't go to bed. But I've realized it's a healthy exercise in some respects, because the why behind everything is what matters most. And so if I say, go to bed at 8 o'clock, they say, why? I'll say, because you got to get up for school in the morning. They say, why? Well, because it's important that you, your body gets enough sleep so you have energy to learn. Why? And anyways, they could extend it out for eternity. I get that. I understand that. But my point with the whole furries in school thing, and whether or not it should be allowed, is that, John, I think people like you and I are losing the argument, because we're seeing more of this stuff lately, not less. And so we have to get better at arguing the why this shouldn't be allowed, because right now we're not being that persuasive. You and I are just preaching to the choir. We're going back and forth, giving each other high fives, saying, isn't this bizarre, wacky, and crazy? Okay, but we're not persuading anybody. So if we really dig down to the why this is so wrong for schools and articulate it in a manner that brings people over to our side, perhaps we'll see less of it. But unfortunately, what I think we're seeing is happening is the ethos of someone like the new CEO of NPR, who says we all have our own separate truths. The truth is relative. And it really, at the end of the day, it gets in the way of us really coming together. So people have embraced that notion and gone, well, what is truth? Well, it's whatever I decide it is. So today I think I'm a puppy. I'm going to wear my ears to class. I'm going to maybe go around and bite one of my classmates, and no one should be able to get in the way of me pursuing my own truth. We could point out a lot of inconsistencies and incoherencies in that worldview, but like I said, it has taken hold of a large portion of America, and it seems to be trending more in that direction and not less. So how do we begin to curb it, John?
Well, right, but because what it is it is moving the self above everyone else. It's how I feel. It is the id, ego, super ego, that what I want to do, if it feels right, just do it. And as each one of the barriers break down, and it's whatever I want to do, if I want to do this, that's okay. And if the other person's okay with me doing that, I'm going to do this, rather than there being sort of a set of rules by which society operates, and you're not on top. Yes, you do have rights, but they are limited by the fact that we have to start saying, you know what? Doing that, acting like that, you can do that, but you will be an outcast. Not this idea of your incredibly bizarre behavior is some side of inclusion, and that we're going to accept that and not judge. People don't want to be judged, but at the same time, they want to be judged. They want to be judged as sort of this outlier, this person, just free spirit. I can do whatever I want. Yeah, and I'm allowed to judge you. Oh, no, you can't judge. Oh, why not? I thought, well, you're judging. Why can't I judge? You're not allowed to do that, because we have to be inclusive. So I can act as weird as I want and do all the strange things I want, but I'm somehow not allowed to judge you. I think people keep pushing that to be able to, again, get back to victimizer. Everything comes through that funnel for these people that are trying to do this stuff. They want people to hate them because they really don't think too highly of themselves to begin with.
We've just scratched the surface. More to be said.
No, there won't be more to be said.
Okay, that's it.
All right.
Stop
dragging these things over.
We wrapped it up.
All right. There it is. Solve that problem.